Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the very first episode of my brand new podcast, Tables, Tailgates, and Top Loaders. I'm your host, TB, aka Tim Beardsley. Now, whether you're a wrestling fan, or what they call a mark, if you will, a member of the Bills Mafia, or whether you're a cardboard enthusiast, you have come to the right place. I'm here to merge all three of these awesome hobbies together. Now, you're probably asking, what the heck am I getting myself into? Well, let's start out by talking about what this podcast isn't going to be. Now, usually if I'm given a choice between do you want the good news or the bad news, I will always opt to take the bad news first. So right off the bat, here we go. This is what it's not going to be. If you're here for the latest analysis, let's say, hey, guess what? The Bills just signed Elijah Moore. How many balls is he going to catch this year? What's his 40 time? Blah, blah, blah. This ain't the place for that. I have no idea what the answers to those questions are. Is he good? Is he bad? We shall see. If you're here for me to give you a detailed breakdown of every single episode of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dynamite, Collision, TNA, the list goes on and on and on, New Japan, you won't find it here. In case you haven't checked, there is so much wrestling out there and I don't have time to watch it all. In fact, there's probably 12 plus hours a week of your main shows. I don't have time for that. If you're looking for information on whether I can give you intel on what NBA sixth man you should be buying in the card market so you can flip it in 6 weeks and make X amount over what you paid for it, I don't have that information for you either. So if I'm not here to break down film, analyze plays, dissect matches, or yell about grading cards and conditions, what am I doing here? Well, I'm here to talk about these three awesome aspects of my life. Three ridiculous passions of mine that make me feel stuff. Yeah, that's right. Feel. That's what this podcast is about. Feelings. And you were like, what is happening right now? Well, I am a grown-ass man about to talk about feelings. And maybe some of you are all ready to turn this podcast off. Just give me a second. Hear me out. These passions, these hobbies, these parts of our lives, guess what? They're supposed to make you feel something. If they don't, then why are we doing any of them? Why do we watch? Why do we go to games? Why do we collect the things we collect? Listen, I do these things because I want to be a part of something. I go to Bills games because I think they're freaking awesome. Being in a stadium, being a part of an awesome fan base, when that place is rocking, you know, as they say, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Wrestling. I watch wrestling because it's fun. Frankly, I want to feel something. I want to enjoy something. I want to try to separate myself from all the negative crap that's going on in the world today. That's why I love wrestling, because it's always there for me. It always gives me an outlet. It gives me something I can watch for 2-3 hours and completely take my mind off of the things that are going on in the world. That's great. Why do I collect cards? I collect cards because, like I said, they make me feel something. It's fun for me. There's no pressure. It simply makes me remember what it is like to be a little kid. And that's what I want this podcast to be about. I want to be a part of something. And I want you all to join in with me. Now, each episode, I'm going to spend some time on each of these three topics. So, the Buffalo Bills, greatest football team on the planet. Professional wrestling. That's right, I said professional wrestling. And the world of card collecting. Now, sometimes we will discuss current events. Sometimes we're going to take trips down memory lane, because that's what this is all about. And I sure hope you will join me for this ride. So, what's the first segment going to be of episode one? Well, how about this? How about we do a little history of myself, and how about we just talk about what it's like to be a Buffalo Bills fan? Because unless you're invested in this team, it's hard to really explain it. So a little bit about myself. I'm 46 years old, born and raised upstate New York, but I've been a Bills fan since about as long as I can remember. And if there's one team, if I had to pick all the sports, and I am a sports fan, but if there's one team I simply put all my hopes and dreams into, this is the team. Now, I remember growing up a Bills fan, and there's a lot of stuff that you don't see today. Blackouts. Watching, trying to sit down and watch a Bills game in the early 90s. Not too many people know what blackouts are, because we have the Sunday Ticket and we have YouTube TV and we have so many options of watching a game. But back when you're a kid, dealing with TV blackouts was a real thing. I remember cutting out player pictures from the Rochester DNC, Democrat and Chronicle. That was a local paper back then. And basically plastering my walls with these pictures. Pictures of football players, articles. I would tape them all over my wallpaper. I'm sure my parents loved it, but they never said a word. So I remember it all. I remember growing up. I remember listening to games on radio. I remember so many things. Going to the stadium. My first game was against the Steelers. I remember my dad taking me there. Like, you had vivid memories of these things. So to be a Bills fan, there's two words I would use to describe what it's like. Those two words, loyalty and heartbreak. It really comes down to those two words, as far as I'm concerned. Now, when you're a kid, like I said, 46, so I was born 79. The team was really getting good in the late 80s, and they hit their stride, obviously, with Jim Kelly and company. So the K-Gun, the high-flying offense, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, so many players. I mean, literally, it was kind of an abundant of riches looking at those early 90s teams. That team was awesome. So as a kid, you're flying high. The team was always great. The list goes on and on. 1991 comes around. I'm 11 years old. The Super Bowl against the Giants. That's when 11-year-old me learns what the word heartbreak means. And I know you're thinking, well, come on, you can't learn what the word heartbreak is from a football game. Well, that's not true, because I vividly remember watching that game. The Bills lose. Two words everybody knows. They're embedded in the history of the team. Wide right. If you don't know what wide right is, Google it, because I'm not going to go over that right now. But as an 11-year-old kid sitting in the couch, watching him miss that kick and then just bawling my eyes out, using a pillow to cover my face and just trying to hide the emotions of your favorite team losing, that's what heartbreak is. And so that first Super Bowl loss, well, it paved the way for, guess what? Loss number two, loss number three, loss number four. It was brutal. Year after year, between the Cowboys, the Redskins, it was crazy. Yeah, the NFC East, they had us time after time, four straight years, brutal. And there's not a single other fan base that has ever experienced that before or since. It's kind of unreal if you really think about it. The team would go on, they would still be competitive on and off during the 90s until 1999. And that's when the loyalty portion of the program kicks in, because that's when things really kind of took a turn. That was the start of the 17-year drought, and it was mediocrity after mediocrity, quarterback after quarterback, mix in a few terrible teams here and there. But there were a lot of uninspiring, unawesome, if that's a word. I mean, you look at the early 90s team, and those teams were awesome, player after player, Hall of Famer. Yeah, there were a bunch of bums on these teams in the 2000s, and it felt like it never ended. 17 years is a long time. I look at my kids now. My son is 18. He's been a Bills fan, thank God. And imagining to have your whole life where you don't see a single playoff game, that's crazy. But that's such a big portion of Bills Mafia and Bills fan base. So 17 years is a long freaking time. And heartache didn't really even enter in the equation then, because it was just blah. It was just mediocrity and nothing was happening. And then 2018 came around. Obviously, we broke the drought 2017, but then 2018, we draft a man who many consider to be not only the savior of the team, but the savior of the city of Buffalo. And that sounds crazy to say, but people believe this. And that man is Joshua Patrick Allen. Yes, that's right. Joshua Patrick Allen. If you want to know how I feel about this man, just know that my kids bought me a life-size cardboard cutout of him for Christmas a few years back. And since that Christmas, he has been guarding my basement on patrol, on watch duty. He's not getting taken down anytime soon. He's up there, and it's glorious. But despite Josh helping to turn the page for the entire organization, heartbreak always seems to creep back in. And we talked about wide right, and there's also Music City Miracle, words that are iconic and heartbreaking for Bills fans. And then we get another one, and that's 13 seconds. 13 seconds. That game, one of the most amazing games I've ever seen, probably ever will see. And despite how amazing that game is, coming out on the heartbreak end of that game is painful. It's painful because of all the other history there. So don't even talk to me about Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear how great he is. I dealt with Tom Brady for 20 freaking years and how he's the GOAT and this and that. And I don't care. I don't care about Patrick Mahomes. But for some reason, they get us in the playoffs. And that is what the word heartbreak means. It's time after time. It's getting your hopes up and having them come crashing down year after year. So to remain loyal to this team is kind of what being a fan is all about. So those two words, loyalty, heartbreak, that pretty much sums it up. We're going to dive deeper and deeper into this team as we go forward. But that's the basic intro for me when it comes to my passion and my fandom for this team. And now let's talk about the world of professional wrestling. And I made a point earlier to call it professional wrestling. This is not sports entertainment for me. I can't stand the way they use that label. I think it cheapens it, if you ask me. These are athletes. These are some of the best athletes in the world. And like I said, I'm 46 years old. It still bothers me when someone calls wrestling fake. And for some reason, I always feel the need that I have to stand up and try to defend the WWE or AEW or whomever to people who call wrestling fake or who laugh at me or make fun of me because I am a wrestling fan. And it's not like these billion-dollar companies need my help defending them when somebody calls wrestling fake. But, you know, it bothers me because I have vivid memories again of wrestling dating back to when I was a little kid. I remember going to the Rochester War Memorial and seeing these larger-than-life characters play out in front of me. If you all remember the Bushwhackers, I remember watching as they would, you know, grab the little kids in the front row on the gate, on the barricade there and lick their heads. And I'd just be like, what is this craziness? I would always go over to my friend's house. Now, my friend had a dad who loved wrestling, which didn't really seem to fit his persona. But for some reason, he loved video games and wrestling. They always had the newest video game consoles, which I never understood. And he always would order the pay-per-views. Now, back then, in the early 90s, late 80s, there were only four pay-per-views a year. So you had your Royal Rumble, you had your SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and of course, WrestleMania. And I remember this was where I had to go to watch my wrestling, watching Hogan Ultimate Warrior. I have memories of watching WrestleMania 3, obviously, Pontiac Silverdome, Hulk Hogan slams Andre the Giant. Everybody knows that moment. I remember seeing it. I just can't remember like the context around it. But the first true memory I have was watching Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan and just thinking, this is the greatest thing ever. And, you know, when you're a kid, you're practicing wrestling moves on your stuffed animals, you're doing all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it's just crazy to think about what it was back then and where we are now. So like I said, you know, wrestling made me feel something as a kid, and that kind of carried with me throughout my life. Different from the Bills, wrestling would kind of come and go at various stages. You get out of it for a little while, you dive back in. It's not like I was consistently watching every show for 40 years, but I always had an idea of what was happening. I always knew who the players were. There might be months where I would step out because things got busy, but you would always dive right back in. You know, people compare it to a soap opera, and that's a pretty accurate description of what it is. You could always miss a couple weeks, a couple months, dive back in, and within a couple hours, have a great idea of who the good guys were, who the bad guys were, that kind of deal. And it's like you never missed a beat. So there would be portions of my life where I would step out of it for a while and then dive right back in. And it always made me feel something. And these were things that I would share with, you know, friends growing up, like my best buddy, you know, lifelong friends. Him and I actually share Bill's season tickets and huge wrestling fan. Hopefully he'll be on the podcast one time. But like, we would always talk about football and wrestling, and you know, I'll talk about it here in a minute, but we both enjoyed collecting sports cards when we were a kid. These things make you feel something. And so wrestling was always there. It was always something that I could come back to despite being away for a while, come back in, feel a sense of comfort. And just like I said earlier in the intro, just remove yourself from life, sit down, see these larger than life characters, how they could do some unbelievable things. And this is what frustrated me about people saying it's fake. Like, these men and women, they're doing awesome athletic things, just awesome stuff. For someone to tell me that the stuff they're doing is fake is just a load of crap. And so I don't know whether it's the 6 to 8 year old, the 10 year old kid in me that is like trying to defend these people. It's just always stuck with me. I think what they do is crazy. It's super athletic. I think they're more athletic than a lot of the professional sports teams we see, but that's a whole nother topic. But, you know, I'll give you another example. My wife and I were privileged enough to be able to go see Metallica recently. Now, Metallica, that is a bucket list band to see one time in your life. Super excited to go see Metallica. Well, one of the bands opening for them was none other than Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit. Now, Limp Bizkit, you know, they had a run of some awesome, unbelievable songs. It's been probably a decade since they were, you know, really, really big in the music scene, at least. But when they hit the scene and they were putting out banger after banger, shout out to Seamus, when they were putting out banger after banger, those were some hits. And that was some good times. And they were opening for Metallica. They come out, Fred Durst looking like John Daly, if you know who that is, looking like you think Santa Claus is overweight. John Daly looks rough as hell, but here comes Fred Durst with a bucket hat now, no longer rocking the backwards baseball cap. He's wearing a bucket hat, sunglasses. He's got the full white beard rocking, and they come out and they start playing My Way. Now, if you know this song, if you are a wrestling fan, you can literally play the first 5 seconds of this song, and I am instantly transported to WrestleMania 17. And probably what I consider to be the greatest wrestling promo package of all time. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock. And this video montage is clipped together using the song My Way by Limp Bizkit. And it is timed and produced flawlessly. If you don't know what I'm talking about, pause this podcast right now. Jump on YouTube and type in WM17, or I think it was X7 at the time. So WrestleMania 17, My Way promo package, and you will see one of the coolest videos of all time. Stunner after stunner, rock bottom after rock bottom. There's beer flying everywhere. It's pure madness, and it is one of the greatest things you will ever see. When Steve Austin hands The Rock a beer and they're drinking beer and he smashes the other beer out of Rock's hands and beer's flying everywhere. And just as the song is picking up steam to get to the chorus, and they time it perfectly so the first punch connects with a face on this time. Needless to say, Limp Bizkit takes the stage and the first song of the set is My Way, and I'm taken back to when I'm like 20 years old, and well, probably no, a little older than that, but we're talking a long time ago. And the first 5 seconds of this song transports me to a memory I will never forget. Every time I hear this song, I think of that promo package. And this is what I'm talking about. Wrestling, sports, hobbies, they're supposed to make you feel something. And if you can't have these emotions and these can't carry with you as you're trying to enjoy and participate in these things, what the heck are we doing? Like, this is what it's all about. So there's a little bit of my professional wrestling history as well. It has stuck with me since I was a little kid. And like I said, 46 years old, still love the product. And we'll dive in future episodes, WWE, AEW, all that stuff. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, a lot of awesome things we can dive into and talk about. But I just kind of wanted to give you a general overview of where I'm coming from as a fan. And then finally, the third T in this podcast, top loaders. Now, some of you might not be into car collecting, you might not know what the heck a top loader is, but a top loader is essentially a plastic protective sleeve that you put over your car to protect it. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as a top loader. You got your cards, you threw them in a shoebox, you threw them under your bed, you left them here, there, everywhere, because you had no idea that they could possibly be worth any amount of money. And you saved up money, you went down to the store, you bought a pack of cards, and that pack of cards had a terrible piece of bubblegum in it. And you thought it was the greatest thing ever, because not only do you get a piece of bubblegum, but you get to open some cards, and some of these cards have, at the time, people that you consider your childhood heroes, people you collect, teams you collect, names you know. Baseball is a lot different back then as far as the way that you could ingest the product. So what do I mean by that? There was no MLB extra innings. You got certain stations that played certain games, and you had your Saturday game, and you kind of took what you could get. So you still knew who these players were, but you didn't have as much access as you do now. So opening these packs was kind of like a magical portal, if you will. I know that sounds stupid, but as a kid, like, these cards transported you and gave you almost a sense of connection to the players. I collected a lot. I collected a ton of baseball cards, and believe it or not, I collected more basketball cards than anything. I was a huge basketball fan when I was a kid. Now, obviously, this is all tied to who I consider to be the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan, number 23, Chicago Bulls. You can still hear the Chicago Bulls entrance music, but I loved basketball cards because basketball was like awesome. It was the Bills, but then I had, what was cool about basketball at the time was the bond I had with my dad watching Michael Jordan play. It was almost must-see TV. I remember watching pretty much every Bulls game ever, every playoff run, every championship, everything. We watched it all. So I was a huge Bulls fan, and I collected basketball cards because I loved the sport back then. So Skybox, NBA Hoops, those were the brands back then. 1991, 1992. Are those cards worth anything now? Probably not. I still have a ton of them. They're in much better shape than my baseball cards. My baseball cards were shoved in this round, circular plastic baseball looking container that, you know, the cards towards the outer circle would get caught on the lid of the container every time you closed it, and they just got beat to hell. And so we didn't really take care of our cards too much. But yeah, just having that fun, that connection to the players. Didn't really collect too much football or anything else, but it was baseball and basketball back then. And so I collected for a good portion of my childhood. And then for whatever reason, I kind of got away from the hobby until the beginning of 2024. For some reason, I got the itch to dive back into collecting. I really was getting back into baseball. I started doing a little more research on cards, and I was blown away by the amount of changes that had happened in the card collecting hobby. I mean, probably 25 years, if not more, that I had been away and I hadn't collected anything. So I dove back in when, now every year Topps releases a flagship product. So your flagship would be Topps Series 1, 2, and then they come up with an update. And they release these at different times during the year. So at the beginning of last season, I decided to open a box of Topps Series 1. And then I decided to try to launch a YouTube channel and make videos of me opening packs of cards because I was having a blast. It instantly transported me to when I was a kid and the feeling of opening these packs and seeing the pictures and reading the backs of them, it made me feel like a kid again. And that's what it's all about. So I decided to go on a adventure and try to start a YouTube channel and document card openings and things like that. And it's been extremely unsuccessful so far, but no, I mean, it's been a slow growth over the last year, but it's been fun. And this is what I talk about in my videos. It's like, I'll open a product, I'll review it. My YouTube handle was Real TB Rips. So shout out to my YouTube channel. real TB, by the way, for Bills fans. My buddies would always call me TB, and my one buddy was a huge Michigan fan, so he loved Tom Brady, and I would always tell him, look, I'm the real TB. So that kind of carried over when I decided to start a YouTube channel, that I would be the real TB, because I hate Tom Brady. But anyway, back to the cards. Yeah, I was noticing and finding that I was having a great time opening cards, and it brought me such a feeling of nostalgia, and that's something that you can't just find anywhere. So I started getting into it more and more. I started really diving back into the hobby and things like that. And so I branched out into wrestling cards. This year, Topps had Topps WWE Chrome 2025. I was lucky enough to get a hobby box and open that up and just remember having a blast. And, you know, as a 46-year-old man, like, having fun opening some of these cards and looking at some of these cards and literally screaming like a little kid when you get a cool autograph. I remember pulling a Mike Trout autograph and then opening the WWE cards, getting a Shawn Michaels Hall of Fame redemption card. I just, you know, it's the coolest thing. I look, I'm not in it to make money, and we'll talk about more specific stories in the card hobby business and industry as we move forward. But to just give you a general background of where I come from with these three passions of mine, like, it's another one that just invokes just pure emotion and feelings. And to get back to the point of this podcast, that's what we're supposed to be doing. There's a lot of crap in this world, a lot of negativity, a lot of bad stuff. And you turn on the nightly news and it seems like it's negative story after negative story. I don't want to be a part of that. I am trying to bring and talk about things that I'm passionate about, things that bring me joy, things that make me feel something good. The Bills, I love this team. Wrestling, it will always be a part of me. I love it. It makes me feel like a kid, and I love having fun. And then collecting cards. Yes, there was a huge gap in my life when it came to collecting, but it's like I'm back and having more fun than ever. And so these three things I want to share with other people. I want to talk about them. I want to participate with other like-minded individuals. So this is why I welcome everybody. This is going to be a good podcast. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's about what we feel and how we feel when we do the things we love. And that's what it comes down to. I can't wait to dive into this journey with everybody. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. We're going to have a good time. And that kind of sums up episode one. So I wanted to have episode one be more of a standalone podcast where I kind of speak in general about these three passions of mine and not really timestamp it with anything current. I want people to be able to go back to episode one and listen to this and say and hear why we're here. So yeah, that wraps it up. That completes episode one. It is officially in the books. I cannot thank you enough for joining me for this first episode, and I look forward to what we have in store. So until next time, whether it's ripping packs, breaking tables, or dropping elbows, keep doing what you love. And as always, go Bills!